chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. And then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps. But the other 5 were wise enough to take extra oil. And when the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were aroused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." And all the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to the shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. And later, when the other 5 bridesmaids arrived, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return." How many of you like to wait?
Teaches here on a future event, an anticipated day in the future. And you know, we're fixing to enter into a period of anticipated waiting. What we call it Advent. It's going to begin in about 3 weeks, where we wait to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the baby coming to earth. But we're also waiting for Christ coming again. We wait. You know, Jesus has already told one parable about how quickly it will come. How one will be, there will be 2 there, and 1 will be taken, and 1 will be left, and it's just going to happen really quick, and it almost sounds like it's going to happen at any time, so we have to stay alert and we have to watch. And now he tells this parable that implies it's going to be a while. It's not going to come as soon as what you think it is. But we are still to watch and to be ready and waiting. So we have to be prepared. 10 virgins, he tells the story of? Waiting on the bridegroom. And you know, that doesn't sound like any wedding we've ever been to before. And it's not. Weddings were different. In Palestine, the guests would gather at the bride's house. And while waiting on the bridegroom, there would be food and entertainment. And when the groom with his friends arrived, the dowry would have to be negotiated, and that might take some time. And then the wedding party would go to the bridegroom's house in a sea of light, where the ceremony would take place, and there'd be more food and entertainment. And so what we find here, Jesus is telling this parable, this story, of these virgins, of these bridesmaids who are waiting for the groom. Most of these weddings in Palestine took place in the early evening, right after sunset. There was no set time that it would take place. They didn't have watches to work like we did when we say, the wedding's going to begin at 7 o'clock. And at 7:10, we wonder when they're going to start. You know, they didn't have a timepiece. And it really, you know, it wouldn't matter if they had of. That's just the way weddings seem to go sometimes. But as the sun was setting, the people were gathering. And they were waiting on the groom's arrival. And for some reason, the groom was late. Now, depending on the translation that you want to read, some say he was late, some say he was delayed, and some say he tarried. You know, so you have the whole gamut of why it was he wasn't there on time. Was someone else holding him back, or was he just lollygagging around himself and wasn't getting there when he was supposed to be there, or was the negotiation for the dowry taking longer than what it should? We don't know, but he was late. He didn't come in the expected time, shortly after sunset. And so now here are these 10 virgins with their lamps burning, waiting, and they get tired and they go to sleep. You know the thing about waiting? Waiting's hard work. It really is. Maybe that's why we don't like waiting so much. Waiting is hard work. It drains you. You know, back when you could wait in the hospital while a surgery was being taken place, it is so tiring sitting in a hospital room or a hospital waiting area waiting. You might only be there a couple of hours, but when you leave, you feel like you put in a full day's work. You just drain. And sometimes waiting isn't just so much waiting in the hospital room. It's just the time that passes when you're anticipating something really good. You know, like when I go to UConn, Oklahoma to see the grandkids, primarily. You know, Chris and Selena, we'll throw them in there, but primarily the grandkids. And we're making that trip across Oklahoma, and it seems like it takes forever. You drive and you drive and you drive and you look and you see the mile marker on the side of the road, and oh, you've maybe went a couple of miles. The time just drags in anticipation of what's coming. And so we really can't fault these virgins for growing weary and going to sleep. Waiting just wears you out. It makes you tired. This parable is about Jesus. And it's about his followers. It's about us. You see, when Jesus left, when he ascended into heaven, he promised to come again. And to set all things in order, to make all things right, where the old would be gone and the new would come. There would be a new heaven and a new earth. He set up his kingdom afresh and anew, the way it should be, all over again. And the followers of Christ, the church, has waited. For almost 2,000 years now, we've waited. We've waited a long time. And it seems like his coming has been delayed. You know, I've heard people say for decades that if he doesn't come back pretty soon, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because he destroyed them for their wickedness. And the world today just seems to be getting more evil and evil and wicked every day. begin to dismiss it from their minds. They don't think about it. They don't prepare for it. They're not ready. You know, in some ways, this delay is a test of faith. Will we lose hope? Will we keep hoping and looking and longing for His return? Will we dismiss the promise that this is just one that's not going to take place, at least not in my lifetime, so it's not something I have to be concerned about? Will we be ready to meet Him or not when He comes? You see, our challenge is to be ready. That's the challenge that is before us. Because, folks, the groom is coming. In the parable, the groom comes for those who are ready. At midnight, at the midnight hour, the forerunner comes before him shouting, "Look, the bridegroom is coming, come out to meet him." At midnight, join the celebration party to his house. Be a part of this parade. But to be a part of the parade, you have to have a torch. You have to have a light. Because the parade is escorted with a sea of lights. And so the virgins wake up and they get up and they prepare and they trim their lights. At least five of them do. See, the lamp that they're talking about here is most likely, by the Greek word that is used, was a torch. One like that we've probably seen in an Indiana Jones movie or a Rambo movie where they pull out a stick and they soak in a rag in oil and wrap it around the top of the stick and they light it and they go into the dark place. That's the kind of torch that they most likely had. They had this stick and they soaked it in olive oil, the rags in olive oil, and they wrapped it around the stick and they lit it. And that's what they did as the sun was going down and they had their torches and it was all burning bright, but then they went to sleep. And their torches began to go out in the long wait from sundown to midnight. The torches began to go out. And so a new oil-soaked rag was needed to be wrapped around it, or if this rag had not burned up yet, more oil was to be poured on it to where it would continue to keep burning. So five virgins took extra olive oil. They were called wise. They had prepared for a delay. Because you just never know. And they replenished their torches and they got them burning bright. But five virgins took no extra oil. And Jesus called them foolish. It's interesting that the Greek word here that is translated foolish in this verse is used in other places in the Bible where it is translated stupid, devoid of wisdom, devoid of good sense, devoid of sound judgment, dull, sluggish. You know, I don't care which definition you want to take, which interpretation you want to take, it don't sound good, does it? not the kind of words we would want to describe us. But these virgins were foolish. They had no oil. Their lamps were going out. You know, for our light to shine, we need oil. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, and if you follow Him, you will have the light that leads to life." As you follow Jesus, your life should be a light unto the world. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." So we are to be a torch in the parade of life, celebrating the coming of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Our life is to be a light. You know, as a kid, we sang the song, and we've taught our kids to sing the song. "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And then the second verse goes, "I'm going to shine till when? Jesus comes." We are to be a light in the world in which we live. We are to be shining brightly. Our light is to shine for Jesus. But our light will not shine without oil. You know, there's another song we learned as a kid, too, that we've taught some of our kids. "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning until the break of day. Keep me burning until Jesus comes again." But if we're going to keep burning, we need oil. You know, in this parable, Jesus doesn't tell us what the oil is. spiritually, he doesn't tell us what the oil is. But in Scripture, oil represents the presence of God. Old Testament prophets, priests, and kings were all anointed with oil, signifying the presence of God upon them. In the New Testament, the sick are anointed for healing with oil, signifying the presence of a healing God upon them. Throughout the Bible, oil is often used symbolically of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives continually. We need the presence of God continually in our lives. When the Bible tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, literally what it reads is, keep on being filled. You see, one dose of oil is not enough. If all we're going to do is light the torch once, our torch is going to go out. We need the oil to continue to be supplied into our lives. There is no place for us to get complacent. There is no place for us to get comfortable in our Christian walk. Paul told Timothy, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you." We need to keep the spiritual gifts, the presence of God. We need to keep fanning it into a flame, knowing His presence is real within our lives. You see, Jesus may delay His coming, but we've got to keep the oil jugs full to keep our torch burning bright, for failure to do so is not good. There's danger in not being prepared. The five wise virgins trimmed their torches and got them burning brightly. They were ready. The five foolish virgins' torches were going out. In the figurative language of the Old Testament, the burning lamps signify a healthy, vigorous life. And an extinguished lamp was just the reverse. A life that is not healthy, a life that is not vigorous. The foolish virgins' life was not healthy or vigorous. With their lamps going out, they asked the others to give them some of their oil. And they said, "No, go get your own." Now think about this a minute. It's midnight. Where are they going to find oil at midnight? All the stores are closed. And even at that, because of the whole situation of the wedding, the owners of the stores would have been at the wedding as well. So why couldn't the others share their oil? Why couldn't they share? Aren't we as Christians supposed to share? Why couldn't they share their oil? You know, what we have to realize is the wise virgins were not being selfish. They couldn't share. Because we can't share preparedness. We can't share being ready. This is an individual responsibility. I can't prepare for you and get you ready, and you can't prepare for me and get me ready. All we can do is prepare each other and get ourselves ready. You can't share it. We're unable to borrow oil. You're unable to borrow the presence of God in your life. Nobody else can give you the presence of God in your life. That is something you have to accept for yourself. So unable to borrow any oil or to get them to give any oil, they left in search of a place to buy oil. And while they were gone, the groom came. And he was accompanied by the wise virgins to his house in the Sea of Lights, where the wedding party entered and the door was shut. Now this is a deviation from a wedding in Palestine. For a wedding in Palestine, the door would never be shut. Everybody was invited to the wedding and to the wedding party. Everyone. Anybody could enter. Anybody could go. So when Jesus said the door was shut, this deviated from what they knew and the listeners knew. An important point was about to be made. And here's that point. shut door points to the time when it's too late to alter the division between the saved and the lost. The shut door symbolizes the time to get ready has passed. It's gone. It's too late. And so this suggests that not every professing Christian will enter heaven. For some really have not trusted Jesus Christ sincerely. And without the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, there can be no true salvation. You see, it takes more than saying, "Lord, Lord." Jesus says there's going to be a lot who say, "Lord, Lord," that he's not going to know. Because they've never trusted him for salvation. This parable is not so much about watching as it is about being prepared and being ready and waiting for that day. Later, the foolish virgins return. We don't know whether they found oil or not. Jesus didn't tell us. All he says is they came back and began calling out for the door to be opened so they could enter. And the reply they got was, "Believe me, I don't know you." It was a formula of rejection. They couldn't enter. It's very similar to Jesus' response in chapter 7 to those who wanted to enter the kingdom of heaven, who said, "We've prophesied in your name, and we've drove out demons in your name, and we've performed miracles in your name." And Jesus said, "I don't know you." Because they had never trusted him. And so the answer to the virgins was, "No, you can't enter. And there is no other way into heaven for those who are unprepared. Because the only way is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's it. By no other name shall people be saved. By no other name shall people come to know the presence of God." So we must be ready and waiting. So how does that happen? It begins by accepting God's gracious invitation to repent, to confess our sins and seek His forgiveness, and then accept God's grace and forgiveness into our lives. Turning from a life of sin and begin walking in the light of God, allowing Him to fill us afresh and anew each day. It means being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, surrendering all to God's plan for your life, living out a life of love where you love God with your total being and you love other people, everyone else, as you would love yourself. And you keep on being filled. You keep on seeking to know more of the presence of God in your life. There is no place for us to let up or to give up. We must continually know the presence of God. Then we must depend on God's grace each day for everything. You see, all the strength and fortitude and determination you can muster up will not be enough. You need the grace of God at work in your life and relying on that grace. And then we must continue to walk in the light. To walk in the light as He is in the light. To be obedient in every decision and in every situation to the will of God for our life. You see, being ready is a must. K.R. Snodgrass, he said, "Readiness is an attitude, a commitment, and a lifestyle. It means living in ways that agree with the kingdom and being faithful at all times." That is what we are called to do. Being ready is living ready for life. To where when that day comes, and we don't know when it's coming, we just know it's coming. And when that day comes, we're not caught off guard, but we are ready with our lamps burning, trimmed, and bright. And so really it comes down to simply this. Jesus tells us this parable, and it brings us to a place that we have to ask ourselves a question. Am I ready for that day to come? Am I ready? Do I know the presence of God in my life? am I ready? Do I know Jesus has forgiven me of my sins? Do I know the infilling presence of the Holy Spirit? Am I ready? Jesus tells us we have to be ready. With our lights burning bright for Him. Because if that's not the way we're living, the bridegroom's going to come. And then we're going to be searching for all. Instead of walking in a light parade with Him. Are you ready? Dear God, this morning, it's a promise you made a long time ago. But it's a promise that will be kept. One day you will return. And this heaven and earth that we know today is going to vanish, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and a new kingdom is going to be set up. But the only way to be a part of all of that is that we have to be ready. We have to know the presence of God in our life daily, moment by moment. So in these moments, dear God, would you search our hearts? Would you help us, dear God, afresh and anew this morning to discover what our relationship with you looks like to you? Are we a brightly burning torch? Or is our fire going out? Dear God, as you begin speaking to our hearts today, may we be faithful to answer you. If we might know your presence, maybe as we've never known your presence before. God, we want to be ready. May we accept your grace into our lives that we will. Dear God, help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. That we will be the light of the world. That our light will shine brightly for you as we look ready and waiting for your return. Thank you again for your blessings upon our life. Thank you, dear God, that we can know your presence in our life. And we can know that we're ready when you decide to come. We pray these things in your holy name. Well, thank you for coming today. We trust that you have been blessed, that you'll have a great day, and that you'll have a great week. And we'll see you next week.